around 480 BC, the Persians decided they needed more land, and so they invaded Greece. Now, the city-states in Greece weren't real happy about it, so they formed a military coalition, came down to an area called Thermopylae, which is a narrow strait near the coast, and they used that as a fortified battle position. It was being led by the Spartan king Leonidas. The king of Persia at that time was Xerxes. They were greatly outnumbered, over 10 to 1, but they held the position fast for about 2 days because it narrowed down so much that the Persians couldn't use their numbers to be able to overwhelm the Greeks, until they were given inside information about a mountain pass. And then the Persians went around this mountain pass and were able to pin the Greeks in together. When the Greeks found out about it, most of the forces turned tail and ran home, leaving Leonidas, the Spartan king, and his 300 Spartan soldiers with a handful of other Greeks. And they were annihilated. But because of Leonidas's bravery, he was revered in ancient Greek history because of his bravery and his willingness to sacrifice himself for the good of the city-state. In fact, he became so revered that in 2006 they made a movie about him called 300, and it was about that specific battle. Now, there's an interaction in that movie where Leonidas is talking to Xerxes, and Xerxes says to Leonidas, "Choose your words carefully, for they may be your last." It's an interesting concept. What if we were to choose our words so carefully, with the understanding that they could be our very last words? We'd probably be a little bit more circumspect about the choices we'd make in terms of what we'd say. We'd probably be a little bit more aware of saying the things we said and not just blurting things out. Because if that's the last thing we're going to say, you ought to make it something good, I would think. In our first lesson, Isaiah is all excited. He's been given the tongue of a teacher. Now, back in Isaiah's time, and in fact throughout biblical times, there's a bit of a difference there. He's excited about giving a tongue of a teacher because actually back then, Scott, they revered teachers. Because the teachers were the ones who taught all the information of the world, all the information of the faith, all the information of everything to the people who would listen. If you wanted to learn, if you wanted to grow, if you wanted to know, it was a teacher who taught you, and they were skilled in terms of what they were able to share. And they chose to share their words very carefully. So while Isaiah is excited about this whole proposition, James, not so much. In fact, if you look at our second lesson, James talks about the fact that we really all shouldn't be teachers. In fact, very few of us should be, because there's a great responsibility that lies there. But I have to disagree with James. I disagree not from the fact that there is a great responsibility that lies there, but from the fact that we don't have a choice. We're all teachers. Think about your lives. Think about your lives and your faith formation. Think about the people in your lives who are just so vitally part of that faith formation. And I bet out of that group of people, there are people that don't even know the important role they played in your life. But you watched them. You listened to them. You learned from them. And you grew from them. They were one of your teachers. Then on the opposite hand, think about the people of faith who have let you down, who have done things contrary to what you thought they were about, who let you down because they showed their humanness, their sinful side, in a way that disappointed you. They too are your teachers. Richard Rohr, the Roman Catholic theologian, talks about the fact of what Christianity is. And it's not what we think it is. Most of us believe that Christianity is a religion, right? Christianity is not a religion. It was never intended to be a religion. We made it into an organized religion. Christianity is intended to be a lifestyle. Jesus taught us not to come to church on Sunday and do our thing and then go home. Jesus taught us how to be God's people. Jesus taught us about sharing, about caring, about loving, about giving. Not just on Sunday when we happen to be in a given church, but every day of every moment of our lives is supposed to be wrapped around that entire concept. And when we wrap ourselves around that concept, when we understand that Christianity is a calling to live a life, when we understand that, then we become teachers. Every moment of every day that we're out there in the world before somebody, we are somebody's teacher. Somebody might be watching us trying to help understand exactly what this lifestyle is about. And we stand there as examples. So, we might want to choose our words wisely. When you move into our gospel lesson, I would bet if you had the opportunity to talk to Peter, he'd wholeheartedly agree with you. You know, we've all been in these situations where we have said things, and sometimes as those words are coming out of our mouth, we're standing there reaching out, trying to pull them back so that person won't hear what we just said. Because we haven't chosen our words carefully. We haven't chosen our words wisely. We've just blurted out what it is that we were thinking at that very moment. And in our society today, there's a lot of blurting that goes on. If it's not a verbalized blurting, it is a blurting that takes place on a keyboard or on a phone where somebody's tweeting or texting or doing something through social media to be able to demean or tear somebody else down, to be able to destroy somebody's life, to be able to be mean, where you can hide behind your phone and kick somebody in the teeth and not take any responsibility for it. And it happens each and every day. Sometimes it's happened to us, and sometimes we have been the perpetrators of that. Because we have not chosen our words carefully. We have not been wise in the things that we've said. Somehow get the idea that if they had cell phones 2,000 years ago, Peter'd be in even more trouble than he is in today's world, in today's gospel. Because Peter was a great blurter, outer. He just gets done proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah and then turns around and, not understanding exactly what that means, tells Jesus basically, I'm not going to allow you to do what you say you need to do. And then Peter gets that great, great title, Get Behind Me, Satan. Because Peter didn't choose his words carefully. He wasn't wise in what he was saying. He wasn't thinking about anybody really except himself at that very moment, wanting to get out of life what he wants, not necessarily what the world needs. You see, we live our lives as teachers of this faith, teachers of this lifestyle that we have chosen to make part of our lives. And God calls us as we go through our daily lives to be able to teach through what we say, to teach through what we do, to be able to allow people to understand exactly how this lifestyle is different than any other lifestyle, how this God who has blessed us is different than any of the other gods of this world that people so crave and reach for, that this gift that we've been given is truly a gift of love. And while love might not always elicit the appropriate responses, we well know, because sometimes we've said things to people we love, things that we didn't really want to say, or maybe shouldn't have said. But this love that God has blessed us with is one where we are called to use all that we have as wisely as possible, to live our lives as it is the very last moment we have, to be able to share, to be able to give, to be able to care through what we say and through what we do. Because while we choose our actions wisely, or at least we should too choose our words wisely, because those words can define us, and those words certainly do teach others about who we are. And do those words reflect who God wants us to be? Or are they words we'd rather try to get a mulligan on and do it all over again? In the end, there are going to be those moments that we want to take back. But nonetheless, each and every day, we should choose what we say very carefully. Because while they might not be our last words, they may be the last words anybody's willing to hear from us. And they may not very well be the words that God would intend to come from our mouths. So choose your words wisely. Choose your words to come in God's love. And in that way, the world might better understand this life we've chosen as God's children, as God's people.